14 verses of this last chapter of John's biblical gospel, although we will not get very far in these verses today. After these things, Jesus showed himself or manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise or in this way he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples, 7 of the 11. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Well, may we know that blessing of understanding his word better this morning. You may be seated. Someone has said that confession is good for the soul. Well, this is true as long as it is done before God, and if necessary, before the one you may have sinned against. But it is certainly not good for anyone to think he has to confess in the presence of a non-biblical priest, like so many deceived people have done due to the false teaching of Roman Catholicism. But in order for me to correctly and hopefully introduce this last chapter of this awesome, soul-benefiting biblical gospel for those who believe why John wrote what he did, as seen in the last verses of the previous chapter, those verses I considered before you last Sunday, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. For I have to confess that as I gave some initial thoughts to these last verses in this last chapter of this glorious biblical gospel, the initial thoughts of this chapter, if I could put it this way, was anticlimactic. What more does John need to write under the infallible inspiration after declaring what the purpose of his writing as a unique gospel is? But as I began to read, study, and consider this last chapter, I realized how foolish I had been to allow such a non-soul benefiting and blessing idea to roll around between my ears, if that is where the soul resides, while we indwell these fallen bodies of flesh. For there is much. There is much in this final chapter for the edification and blessing of all those who seek to read it, study it, and hear it preached with believing hearts. May such be what is done this morning and every time this or any other portion of the Word of God is read or preached on. Because remember, brethren, the devil never stops trying to hinder you and I being blessed by the truth of the written Word of God, the Holy Bible. Whether it is in your personal reading or when it is preached on, when the one who is preaching it desires to hold forth the truth of the Word of God by seeking to rightly divide it. Because what does John write in just the opening portion of verse 1? After these things, Jesus showed or manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, to be honest, I was foolishly thinking, after these things, after what things? After Jesus so wonderfully showed that he had risen from the dead, what else could John write about? So I would be rushing on, as it were, to try and find beneficial truth in the way in which John declares that Jesus has showed himself or manifested himself again to his disciples. And there is important and glorious truth that I hope to be able to show. But how easy it is. How easy it is to rush over the words, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. For according to my studies, the word translated showed in the King James or New King James Version can also be translated manifested. And it is the only time it is used in this form in the New Testament. Now the word translated showed or manifested means to make known, or to show, or to reveal something or someone. As it is used here, Jesus is showing himself again, or manifesting himself again, or revealing himself again in his resurrected glory to his disciples. Now this word in its various forms is used 49 times in the received text of the New Testament. Now, it's not my intention to quote all 49 times, but that in itself would be a profitable study. But notice how it is used just in John's Gospel to show the importance of this word for what Jesus is doing for his disciples again here. The first time it is used in John's Gospel is back in the first chapter, John 1:31. And I, that is, John the Baptist, speaking to the lost religious rulers about why he was baptizing, and I knew him not, but that he should be made known, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. The purpose of the forerunner was to reveal, or to show the fact that the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, had come. Sadly, a ministry that the unbelieving lost religious leaders showed that they did not want to confess, even though they knew, dear brethren, that this was his purpose. Because what do you read in Mark 11, verses 27 to 33? And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, and I love this, they can demand an answer from Jesus, and yet Jesus always turns it around and challenges them. And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they, notice, and they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? Why? Because what did John the Baptist do? Say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His ministry was to manifest and reveal the truth that the Messiah had come. Verse 32, but if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. Verse 33, and they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. They're liars. They're not willing
to realize the truth that they are being confronted with.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things.
John the Baptist was raised up to manifest the truth, to reveal the truth that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, had come.
Second time it is used is in John 2, verse 11. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth, or showed forth, or revealed forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
The miracles that Jesus did, beginning with this one, was to reveal or show or declare the glorious truth of who he is, God manifest in the flesh. And if ever you wanted just one verse to show you that the misnamed gospels, like the anti-gospel of Thomas, are not biblical and true gospels, you have proof in just this one verse.
Why do I say this? The anti-gospel of Thomas has the child Jesus making sand birds and then giving them life.
But what does John say? The beginning of miracles at the wedding of Canaan of Galilee to manifest his glory. Jesus, as I said last week, and what I said, I did not like using the word perform with respect to the miracles and signs Jesus did. Jesus did not perform his signs. He did not perform his miracles. He wasn't in the practice of entertaining others or even himself. Well, I think I'll make a little bird and out of sand and then make it fly, as is found written in the anti-gospel of Thomas. No, the things that he did, the signs that he did, the miracles he did, were to manifest truth about who he is.
The third time it is used, not with specific reference to Jesus, but to the truth that true believers acknowledge that their ability to do anything of benefit to themselves or others is due to the grace of God working in them and through them. John 3:21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, may be revealed, may be shown that they are wrought in God.
See, a believer points to God. He says, it's all of grace. Remember that parable, the parable of the publican and the Pharisee? Oh, I thank you, O Lord, that I'm not like all other men. He's praising himself. He's pointing to himself. But what did the publican do? Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. If I can do anything that honors you and glorifies you, it is you who must work in me to will and to do according to thy good pleasure.
Fourth time it is used is when Jesus' unbelieving stepbrothers, those who came from the same womb, but not the same father, display their unbelief by rebuking the way he was not going into Judea because his time to give himself up into the hands of his enemies had not come. John 7:4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret as he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself, manifest thyself to the world.
He would do so, but not on their time, but on his father's time.
Fifth time it is used by John is when Jesus explains why the man he opened the eyes of had been born blind. John 9:3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, or revealed or showed in him. And then the sixth use is Jesus declaring what he has done in obedience to his Father. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Then the last two times John uses this particular word, the seventh and the eighth, if you are counting, is here in John 21, the first verse, and then verse 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself or manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself in verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself or manifested himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead.
Now why, you might be asking, am I stressing the importance of this wonderful truth about Jesus showing or manifesting or revealing himself again this third time to his disciples? Well, first, notice the sovereignty of Christ's manifestations.
the sovereignty of Christ's manifestations. Jesus chose when and to whom he would reveal himself after he rose from the dead. For if Jesus had not chosen to reveal himself to manifest the truth that he had risen from the dead, he was given over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. If Jesus had not chosen to reveal himself and manifest the truth that he had risen from the dead, dear brethren, you and I would not be in this place of worship this morning. You and I would not be in this place of worship this morning trying to understand this wonderful truth better. We would never have had the record of Jesus first appearing to the weeping Mary. We would never have had the wonderful record of how he manifested himself to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, or twice with the disciples, first without Thomas and then with Thomas. You see, Jesus is sovereign over when and where and how and to whom he is pleased to reveal himself. To show himself, to manifest himself. Truths in the way in which he makes himself known to his disciples who have spent all night fishing and caught nothing. A truth that is seen in the last book of the Bible. For although John uses a different word, what does the first book of this often misunderstood and sadly misused book declare is the purpose of the book of Revelation, the very first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified to it by his angel unto his servant John. It's called the Apocalypse. It's the unveiling. It's the revelation. The unveiling of the truth of who Jesus Christ is as King over world history. Anyone who does not think they should be looking to Jesus for a correct understanding of human history show how ignorant they are of history and the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. For who was the only one worthy and able to open the seals of history? The Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can give us a correct understanding of history. You see, anyone who writes about history and makes no reference to the Lord Jesus Christ shows that the Lord of history has not manifested or revealed himself to him. He's the key. But that leads me to a second thing to notice about Christ's sovereignty and showing himself, revealing himself, and manifesting himself in his sovereignty after his resurrection. The New Testament records Jesus doing this only for his disciples. Doing it only for his disciples. When he walked on this earth prior to his resurrection, he was seen by both believer and non-believer. But after his glorious resurrection, his gracious and merciful sovereignty towards his disciples is seen in that he is recorded as only revealing himself to them. Not to those in the worst possible condition it is possible to be in on this earth, an unbeliever in the glorious truth that Jesus is the resurrected, ascended, reigning, and returning Savior of this sinful world. Yes, Jesus appeared to unbelieving Saul in the Damascus Road, but when Jesus appeared to him, what did he become, dear brethren? What did he become on the Damascus Road in the amazing sovereign mercy and grace of God? A believer. Who art thou, Lord? The reality that the one he had been persecuting through his church was the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how Paul describes this sovereign manifestation of the Lord to his disciples in 1 Corinthians 15, the first 8 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time.
But a question you should be asking yourself, in light of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended back to his Father to await that unique day when he will manifest himself and reveal himself in all his returning and reigning glory to all who have lived, are living, and will yet live prior to his return. The question everyone should be asking is first, since the Lord has ascended back to heaven, where has he been pleased to reveal and manifest himself today? And second, has he been pleased in his sovereign mercy and grace to reveal and manifest himself to you? For since the Lord is sovereign in where and how he reveals himself, where he manifests himself, is there anywhere today that he has been pleased to tell us that he does so? Yes, go back to the last verses of chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It is through his written word that the Lord is pleased in his sovereignty to reveal the truth of who he is to souls regenerated and illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God, whose ministry it is to take the things of Christ, the wonderful things of Christ, the glorious things of Christ, the beautiful things of Christ, and reveal him to the souls for whom he died. Oh, dear brethren, let us be honest. How many show that they are still unbelievers, even as they profess to believe in God and say they want to know God, but refuse to rejoice and confess that Christ Jesus is the only way to know God and the final revelation of him, as declared so powerfully in the opening verses of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:1-3, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also we made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And what does Peter declare? One of the seven who had Jesus manifest himself to him again. What does he say in 2 Peter 1 verse 19? We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. The prophetic and fulfilled scriptures point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not using them correctly unless you see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed and declared therein. For if you're using the scriptures correctly, you're using them to see the Lord Jesus Christ better and better and better. You are using the scriptures through which the Lord will show himself, the Lord will manifest himself, the Lord will show you the truth and glory of who he is. Because what did Jesus say to Thomas in verse 29 of John 20? Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. How do you see Jesus today? Through the eye of faith, as the scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open your eyes to see the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So the question, it's a very personal question, but Jesus is very personal. I ask you, have you been enabled to see the risen, ascended, reigning, and returning Lord Jesus Christ as he has been pleased to reveal himself from Genesis to Revelation, to make himself known from Genesis to Revelation. I once was blind and did not see or understand what the purpose of the Bible was. Everybody said you should have a Bible in your home, and so I bought a Bible and I had it sitting on the counter there, but I opened it up and it wasn't anything to me, and so I gave it away at a yard sale. But then the day came when the Spirit of God was pleased to open my eyes and see the truth, and the purpose of the Word of God was to show me the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I once was blind and did not see or understand what the purpose of the Bible was. So many ideas, so many false teachers with all their false ideas about the Scriptures. But can you say that you have been blessed with the exhortation and instruction that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't see, if you dislike seeing, if you refuse to see that Christ is revealed and makes himself known from Genesis to Revelation, then you are not rightly dividing the word of truth. And I don't care if you can read the Bible in the original languages. I don't care if you can parse every Greek word and every Hebrew word. If you don't see Christ in the Scriptures, your eyes are still blinded by the devil. And so the blessing, the gift. Have you seen him? Have you seen Christ? As the Lord of glory reveals and declares himself in the Scriptures, have you seen him as the only Savior of sinners revealed and declared in the Scriptures? I was reading earlier in my devotions this morning where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I can't remember, it was both of them, but they came and they said, "How come you're eating with sinners?" And I said, because that's the only ones he could eat with. He can't eat with anybody else but sinners. They were using it as an objection. And I say, praise God that he would come into this world to sit with sinners and show us that he'd be willing to forgive us and cleanse us from our sins. Have you seen him as the only Savior of sinners revealed and declared in the Scriptures? Have you seen him as the only one who can save your sin-sick and sin and dying soul? Have you seen him as the only one who can make your meeting with God a safe and blessed one? Have you embraced the wonderful words that Jesus speaks to those who see him revealed and declared in the Scriptures? Peace be unto you. We live in a world where we have peace conferences and peace authorities and the Nobel Peace Prize, and yet the Nobel Peace Prize is given to warmongers. And no one wants to listen to the one who is the Prince of Peace. Because world peace, dear brethren, will only come when Jew and Gentile, Arab, and whoever bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you embraced the wonderful words that Jesus speaks? Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does this world ever burden you? Does the reality of that sin that's always trying to trip you up burden you? Where else can you go but back to Christ constantly and never endingly? Do you know that blessing? Do you know the joy and blessing of being able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God? Do you rejoice in being able to bow your knees now and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Have you known the joy and blessing and benefit of reading a passage of Scripture and being able to say, I never saw this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage before, but now I do. Praise the Lord. What a gracious God he is to show me my Lord and Savior a little bit better. And are you asking him to manifest the truth of who he is better to your soul when you read the word personally when it is preached? Remember what I said, the last thing the devil wants is for anyone to see or see Christ better in the Word of God. See, he'll snatch away the word quickly from the non-believer, but dear brethren, he'll snatch it away from you as well. He doesn't care whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The last thing the devil wants is for anyone to see the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if he can snatch it out of the heart of a non-believer, he'll snatch it out. And if he can snatch it out of the heart of a believer who is hearing the word preached and is thinking more about a stupid football game this afternoon or this evening, then the devil rejoices. Because, dear brethren, I ask you, if you've had your eyes open to see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, that He is your only hope for time and eternity, I ask you, is this not what you are praying for when you cry out to the Lord for true revival? And the salvation of those you know and love, who show by their words and actions that seeing Christ properly is the furthest thing from their sin and devil-blinded minds and lives. They look upon us as peculiar because we rejoice in seeing the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they'll have no problem in sitting in a cold stadium watching grown men kick a football around, and they call us peculiar. Because if you see Christ better to the saving of your soul, what's more important? Who wins or seeing Christ better? On that great and awesome day, dear brethren, will it matter who wins tonight? Will it matter if you've seen Christ by faith before you cross over or He returns? Because, dear brethren, sadly and soberingly, and it should cause you to move you to prayer and to cry out and never to stop crying out to the God of your salvation, the last thing they want is to face the truth that if they do not want to see Christ show Himself, manifest Himself more and more and more out of the Word of God, they are showing, dear brethren, that they are not ready for the ultimate and final manifestation and showing of the Lord to this lost and dying world at His second coming. A manifestation not only of the Lord, but also of the souls of all men who will either be rejoicing in the truth of having seen their need of the Lord before they die, or facing the folly of having rejected the truth of glorying and believing in the truth of the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. Because what does Paul declare? What does Paul declare? Using the same word that John uses for the showing or manifesting of the Lord to his disciples. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's translated in the King James Version and I think many versions, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But that word appear is the word manifest. That word appear is the word show. For we must all be made manifest who we really are. Will be seen on that day, for we all must be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What will that day reveal and manifest about the hearts of all men with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh Lord, enable me to in some way to go away from time in your word with a better understanding of who you are in all your glory. Have you known this blessing? Have you known this blessing? Do you know this blessing? Do you want to know this blessing better and better? Lord, show me the things of yourself in your word, even as you were pleased to show yourself again to your disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and I will be blessed. And you will be blessed. Regardless of where you are, and regardless of what you may yet have to go through before seeing Him face to face. Is this your prayer? Is this your prayer? Is this your confession? Is this your desire and my desire? What does what, or better, who you want to see better today, and hopefully every day, say about your soul and mine? Let us pray.